by huge quantities of these microscopic particles that can clog up the filtering apparatus of things like sponges. So we're not sure what's causing the die-offs that we've seen near Key West associated with this bloom, and we're hoping that the tissue samples that are being collected today and probably more in the future will give us some insight into what caused those die-offs.
Now, what is the current status from pilots or fishermen as we begin April in terms of how much of this discoloration is still being seen in the waters?
Well, we had another vessel from NOAA's Atlantic Oceanographic and Meteorological Laboratory in the vicinity of the bloom on Friday, and it did a cruise track along what's called the backcountry, which would be the northern edge of the Keys that are characterized by a lot of shallow water areas. And they saw these bloom conditions from an island known as Big Pine west to Key West, and that would cover a distance of approximately 30 miles. And they estimated that it extended to approximately 10 miles to the north, this very brownish-green water.
So it is still covering a large area.
That's correct. The underwater visibility is typically less than 2 feet in this kind of pea-soupy appearing water. The divers that I've spoken to have experienced no adverse effects other than the limited visibility in the water. Again, there are areas where the bottom community appeared healthy and okay despite being immersed in this what appears to be very concentrated plankton bloom.
What is it about a bloom of something like a plant that naturally exists in the ocean that can become so dense that it can cause destruction of coral and destruction of sponges? And what makes that become a potential threat in the future?
A general issue in that regard for any such phenomenon is how much is due to human-related causes and how much is truly natural. And in this particular bloom, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to develop a good answer for that.
Wow.
And this complete inability to fully understand what has happened and point a finger at one thing, you will hear in the next half hour from a woman who has spent hours and was up tonight, up till 10 o'clock when I last talked to her. She had been looking under a microscope and examining some of the water from this area.
Oh.
And you will find it very interesting to hear from a woman who for 30 years has been analyzing and examining flasks of water from Florida and how this one is so hard to finger any particular culprit, but she will also, I think, that all of this is perhaps leading to something that all the scientists say that they need to understand more, Art, and that is it possible that in this time of increasingly warm temperatures and the warmest winter on record in North America, mm-hmm. combined with what Dr. Heller pointed out, was water in Florida with warmer temperatures, could we be moving into a new era in which these kinds of explosive growths might happen on a more frequent basis? And I'll also update you on some history.
Okay, Linda, hold it right there. We'll be right back.
I know you can see me, now here's a surprise.
This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 1st, 2002.
That I don't know about the little tricks you play, and never see you when deliberately you put me in my way. Well, here's a broken.